there's a movement happening. Some call it Reformation. Others call it Holy Discontent. We call it the Resistance. Traditions and harmful teachings have kept the bride captive for centuries. We will explore these systems and contrast them with God's design. Join us as we discuss God's patterns for life, ministry, and most importantly, His church. We will do this with scripture, testimony, music, and satire. We are resisting the system and embracing the design. We are the Resistance.
All right, welcome back to the Resistance Radio Show, everybody.
We are talking about Halloween.
Halloween!
Because it's super cool.
Okay, so when we left off, I was talking about...
You're right, super cool.
Some of the traditions and practices that people have adopted.
What were the ones you mentioned before?
I talked about trick-or-treating and the carving of jack-o'-lanterns, which both had very evil and demonic origins.
However, roasting pumpkin seeds is not evil.
Just straight-up demonic. Straight-up delicious.
Hey, did you know that the jack-o'-lantern, the rumor is that there was a guy named Jack that... And this is where the whole idea of carving jack-o'-lanterns came from, was the Celtic tradition was there was a guy named Jack who had tricked the devil so many times that whenever he died, he couldn't get into heaven. But so Satan was so mad at him, he wouldn't let him into hell either. So he was forced to roam the earth, and he made a lantern out of a gourd so that he could direct people
I have heard
his
that.
Path.
And actually, yeah, I think yeah. I heard it from you.
I don't know. You might have. I mean, I'm Irish. What can I tell you? All this weird stuff.
What can I tell you?
We tell stories. That's what the Irish do.
All the weird stuff stuck in my head. I don't know what to tell you.
I got
to
get it out somehow.
Just got to go, but it never leaves.
Okay, so
just coming out,
I have a couple more things to talk about real quick.
Me too.
Before we move on. I'm going to mute his microphone so you don't have to
Good idea.
We kind of already talked about this in the trick-or-treating, but the dressing up in costumes, people would try and depict themselves as
Does that count
evil.
Does your house?
Or scary, or they would try and look like these evil spirits to blend in with the evil spirits. So they would make these costumes in
so they
the
could trick
of,
people into giving them their offerings,
right?
Or they could scare the evil spirits away from themselves.
But they try.
But don't worry, that's not what you're doing today when you do.
No,
that.
You're not.
You could totally change the meaning just by your intent.
Yeah.
So the next one that I found interesting was. These next two, basically, there was a lot of the activities or games or whatever had to do with divination and witchcraft and trying to either predict the future or control the future. So one of them that probably people don't even realize is bobbing for apples.
Right.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised when I read that.
Yeah, they would bob for apples, and basically, if you got an apple, you were assured a plentiful harvest for the next
right,
year.
Yeah.
And I read somewhere that it tied back to a Roman festival that celebrated their goddess Pomona, which was the goddess of fruitfulness or of good harvest or whatever. So
the innocent bobbing for apples
controls the destiny of your harvest.
What? Bobbing for apples always weirded me out because I never understood what in the world are we doing this for?
I never quite got that one.
Just grab it.
Never did it either.
All you Christians out there that are listening and rationalizing your behavior this Halloween, just remember there is no other reason to bob for apples.
No.
This is it.
Chance drowning so that you can get a piece of fruit.
Which you could just reach in and grab with your hand. Yeah. I don't understand.
Good. You know it's demonic in that case. Okay. So the other ones, they would play games of divination or of fortune telling, and people would read each other's futures and stuff. But the one that I thought was really interesting was one of the most popular ones. And I actually somewhere saw a Halloween greeting card, probably from the Hallmark company who was making tons of money off of it.
Let's not give them credit for that until we know.
Anyway,
sure.
There was a tradition that the young single women would sit in a dark room with a mirror in front of them, and they would, I don't know, chant something or whatever, and supposedly the face of their future mate would appear in front of them in the mirror, looking back at them. And if they were to marry, that's who it would be. But if they were not to marry, if they were going to die before they got married, just a skull would appear in front of them.
Isn't that awesome?
Mm.
So
So anyway, the other, so black cats, that's another interesting.
Yeah.
And divination had something to do with black cats, too. So they believe black cats.
All cats have to do with divination.
They do. And I'll tell you how, because I looked it up. But black cats were believed to be reincarnated like nice people.
Hmm.
So they were considered sacred. But in order to get the power of the reincarnated person, what they would do is they would put cats into a wicker cage and throw them into the bonfires alive.
Oh, jeez.
Well, that's why if the black cat crossed your path, you didn't catch it, it was bad luck. If you caught it, you could put it in the wicker cage and throw it in the bonfire. You could get all of its good.
Wow.
Fortune.
Oh, so it's all about fortune.
Watch your cats. Watch your kids. Watch your fires closely. Do not try this at home. This does not work. This is just like evil trickery to kill cats. No, I'm serious. You cannot condone it in any way. It's just not right.
No, I guess not.
Why do we even care?
I'll tell you why we care.
Well, that's why I was hoping somebody would tell us, why do we even care what everybody's out there doing as long as they aren't doing it to me?
You know, we joked earlier about, you know, being hyper-legalistic and stuff, and that's not at all what we're trying to do. We're not saying, oh, Halloween's evil, therefore you can't do Halloween. So we are kind of, but that's not what we're saying.
Right. Well, you can and will
but,
probably do whatever you want to do, no matter what we say.
We're not here to tell you what you can and can't do. We're here to tell you the truth and the reality of the situation.
It's origins, and it's how it affects the spirit realm, and it's the original intent. This is all in the context of, you know, living in two realms and how the spirit realm works. It's like there's a lot of Christians who just don't understand it. They don't, and now maybe they just completely deny it, and they're like, well, it's not real. It's no.
A lot of times that's the case.
Which is,
let's just go get in our closet and pray everything will be okay.
That's right.
Right.
But, and it's not about any specific activity, like costumes, candy, jack-o'-lanterns, whatever. That's not what we're talking about. It's not about, oh, let's just write a new law. Looking at God and his character, how he interacted with his people, what he communicated to them, how Jesus and the apostles walked, what they were communicating, and the fact that we're to be separate from the world, that as Jesus' disciples we should be marked by love, unity, godly fruit, and having the Holy Spirit, not other spirits, because they're not good. And we should be setting captives free from the grip of Satan and his demons, and not joking lightheartedly about their existence or putting pictures of them up around our house and in our front yard. And it's not this, like, oh, should we or shouldn't we, or should we do trunk or treat or watch scary movies or go to haunted houses. It's about being God's church.
Well, yeah.
In this reality that, like you're saying, where there's a spirit realm and a natural realm.
So my first question would be whether or not people believe that there really is a spirit realm. Second, whether it really is a devil. Do they actually believe God's word? The third would be, do you understand that God calls you to separate yourself from such things? You know?
It's in Deuteronomy, dude.
Right. And I mean, you know, God did not take it very kindly when his people went to spiritists and mediums before him. And even if you don't do that on Halloween, you have to understand that's where this all came from.
Right. Well, he also was never fond of them adopting the practices of the pagan cultures they were around.
Correct.
Which is exactly what all of this is.
Right.
Whether you have that deep in your heart belief, like, I'm going to go out and scare off evil spirits by dressing up in this costume.
And I'm telling you,
that's where it came from.
I feel a lot of, like, mixed feelings about this, but I do feel like a sense of importance and compassion on those people who don't know the origins of all these practices and they don't want to get into that. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to just hand over some rights to Satan.
Well, and the church peer pressure is so bad to participate now.
Right.
You know, it makes you feel like you're a goofball for not wanting to be involved in evil.
Right.
So I don't know the answer to this for all of you, so I'm going to ask, but I probably know for you, Mark, but not the other two. Did you guys ever do seances, Ouija boards, any of those types of things?
Ouija board, yeah. Not a seance.
No, I did. I don't know what to call it. Me and my friends did some sort of weird meditation thing.
So do you think you would have done all that if it hadn't been for Halloween in your life?
No, because I did it on Halloween.
So it was a gateway.
It was not on Halloween.
Not a Halloween thing.
It was a Ouija
for
board
me,
thing.
For me, it was all Halloween was a gateway to all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because it made it seem innocent.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Right. So we would do seances and we would do Ouija board and all those things.
And, you know, if you think about it, I mean, if I don't want to say an acceptable practice on Halloween, but that's what you do on Halloween. It's embraced on Halloween.
Summoning,
you're like, oh, I'll do something that I don't normally
do. You're summoning the dead.
Right.
You're summoning spirits.
Right.
And You know, I have an excuse. I was raised in a non-Christian household. There was no big deal. Nobody cared. It not even on their radar. But if you're raised in a Christian household and you're opening gateways for your kids to think it's okay to go and summon spirits whenever you're not around and do seances, I think you got to think about this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no, but I did. Like, I mean, I remember, like, some of my costumes growing up were, I mean, I was like a firehouse dog 1 year, and I was a caveman 1 year. But other years, I was, like, really creepy things and, like, violent things, you know? And it's like, that's what I'm saying. It's okay, that's great. You know, the original intense thing, obviously evil. And if you want to try to rationalize that away, just look at its present manifestation, and you can't look at it and say it's all okay, because it's obviously not. And the whole fact that the holidays there to begin with was all these evil things. And it's like, okay, you're going to continue to celebrate a holiday that started bad and it still is bad.
And my sister is so wild about Halloween. I mean, she just inherited it all from my mom. Mm-hmm. And her husband was born on Halloween, so it's his birthday. So they do all kinds. She's as bad as my mom was about the party and the decorating and all that stuff. You know, and it's like, it's easy to fall into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the question is it something we should be doing as Christians or not?
Yeah.
And then everybody's going to have to weigh on that. But don't let the church pressure you in, because, I mean, Christianity Today and Lifeway, all bunch of really mainstream Christian publications and websites are all talking about how it's the evangelistic opportunity of the year to go out and mix with your pagan neighbors. And you don't witness by participating in pagan revelry.
Right.
Yeah, because if you're out there doing exactly all the same stuff that they're doing, how in the world is that witnessing? That's just you using that as an excuse to indulge in whatever you want to.
Right. Yep.
I wanted to say one more thing about being separate from the world, you know, because we're talking about this and... And, you know, it's not about overriding a new law. You know, it's not, you know, instead of let's looking at activities or movies or music or whatever, it's about where your heart is. Are you emotionally attached to the ways of the world? You know, whether it's the specific holiday or the world in general, do you share the world's values and walk in its ways, or are you practicing the ways and customs of God's kingdom? So instead of writing a new law of do's and don'ts, and instead of reasoning away all the things that you want to do, look at God's character and begin to align your heart with his. And so, you know, for example, asking, does God care if I dress up in this costume, I think is a really stupid and useless question. And it totally detracts from anything, and it's crafted only to justify your actions. Instead, you should look at God's attitude towards pagan holidays in general, like you mentioned, Mark. Demons, fear, death, violence, lust, witchcraft, hypocrisy, you know, all those other things, and say, are those things he looks kindly upon?
Right, and if you think dressing up, you know, having your kids dress up as a Frozen character or a Little Mermaid is going to change that, it doesn't. They're still participating in all the rituals that have origin in the pagan festivals.
Right.
So the fact, right, Jason, you got to go to the big picture and say, should I be doing this at all, period? And then if your faith isn't enough to stand your ground against opposition, then I don't know what kind of faith you have. Because you're going to always have to, if you're going to live contrary to the world, you're always going to be confronted with, well, you don't fit in, you don't do this, you don't do that, so what?
Well, and I think that's really what it comes down to, is that you know, like, even in the church, like, they don't take spiritual warfare seriously.
Right.
You know, they just don't.
Mm-hmm.
But,
again, what it's all about, because it's, you know, when you're assenting to these things, when you're agreeing with them, when you're participating in them, you're walking in them, you are essentially saying, God, I don't care about your ways and your values, but all you demons, this sounds great. This is fun.
You're complicit with the actions.
Well, okay, so here's another thing, and I just thought of this. So it may not come out well, and you guys may have to rescue me from being stupid and put my foot in my mouth, but if, as the church, we feel compelled to have to come up with an alternative for the pagan revelry, then isn't that just still conforming to the world, saying, this is a night we can't be left out of?
I think it's just
we also,
like,
have to have fun on this night because they're supposedly having fun.
It's just like the whole relevance thing, man. It just eats at me.
What you just said is exactly it. It's fun. They are ignoring what God thinks and how God feels so that they can have fun and enjoy themselves.
Right, and because you can't just tell people we don't participate. They don't believe that people will look at that and respect that.
Right.
Well, as much as, oh, no, we do this family, dress up like Bible characters and give out tracts, and that way it's all okay.
Right.
Wait a minute. How about we just let that holiday die?
You want to –
By non-participation. You guys realize that Scotland, Ireland, America, the only three places where it's dominant. Everybody else in the entire world says Halloween's stupid.
Right.
And they don't do it. I mean – you have the Day of the Dead, you know, in Mexico, which is a parallel holiday because the pagan cultures permeated the earth, and they had all their rituals were similar. Simulated. China has a very small thing. France and most of Europe just says, you guys are all crazy. We don't want anything to do with it. And they're succumbing to the pressure of the money, though.
Right.
So why don't we as Christians just step out of it for a few years so it dies before it takes root in the whole world?
Right, because you really want to stand out among your non-Christian friends and be an evangelistic tool. Why don't you just say, no, I'm not doing that?
Right.
Because that speaks louder than I'm going to do that in a different way that's pretty much the same.
You mean you don't get to eat candy?
I don't.
That's the answer I got.
Your kids aren't going to eat candy?
I got a couple of M&Ms right here.
I've had at least two dress-up birthday parties.
I know.
I was awesome. Them. Yes, they were a lot of fun. Right. Me and my wife dressed up as hippies. I got to buy a Grateful Dead shirt for that.
And right? American Beauty. Demons.
And there's good deal. There's nothing wrong with costume parties. That's not what we're saying. It's that all of this holiday and everything wrapped up in it is rooted in demonic things.
Yeah, and that's the whole point, is that people want to dissect it and try to separate things out and say, mm-hmm. Well, what's so wrong with blah, blah, blah? And it's like, I'm not going to join in that argument because right. you're creating a false argument. It's like,
called setting up a straw man.
Yeah, it's like you're celebrating a pagan
holiday. What's
wrong
with straw men?
You can throw wicker basket cats on them.
Right. I'm going to dress up as a straw man.
We have to go to another song and a
break.
That's
great because this is a really good song at this point.
What is it?
It is called Screwtape Letters, and it's by Heath McNeice. And he's based on the C.S. Lewis book. And his whole point of the song is he took this theme that he found in the book of this gentle slope to hell, basically. And he just kind of elaborates that, which is what we just got done talking about. People want to rationalize and do these little things like, oh, there's nothing wrong with this or nothing wrong with that, and let's just do whatever.
Which I just wanted to make a comment before we go to the song about if you haven't ever read it, the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis.
I haven't actually. And
I think you would like it especially. It is a book that is interactions between two demons on their assignment to basically destroy this Christian man. So it's
the more experienced demon telling the other one that he's going about it all wrong.
Yeah.
Right. And my favorite part—his
instruction
book,
and correction—and
my favorite part of the whole book is at one point the older one's talking about how he's influenced culture to destroy humanity, and you know at one point he influenced Western society to look down upon beards,
which means that's how you know it's demonic.
I know.
No, and it's just it's a really good.
We're opposing that physically.
I think it's a good insight into this spiritual realm we've been talking about and the interactions with it. So
let's go to the song, go to the break, we'll be back.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome
in.
Halloween.
Okay. Halloween.
Is bad.
Oh, man, he's not on it today. I don't know what's going on.
Into that.
Let's try it again.
No, let's don't. Let's do
some stuff.
Let's talk about more serious stuff.
Yeah, we only got 20 minutes or something.
Oh, baloney. You got to bring that.
What are we going to talk about?
I heard a rumor one time that somebody had some cool historical facts. About
if you want to go there, I can give you some of that. I was going to save it to the very end.
Yeah,
if I got 3 minutes, I could
talk. We're in serious mode right now because we're going to talk.
Did you get the serious memo?
I don't think you did.
Man.
Of course not.
He
misses that memo every time.
Yeah, so we just got done talking about this idea that, okay, yes, its origins, pagan and demons and spirits and all this stuff.
Halloween, that is.
Yeah, its current manifestation, pretty much just celebration of wicked stuff. So much so that one of the things that really bugs me is that every public space and television gets full of just, like, demonic imagery, basically. I went to stinking Home Depot with my kids. They're 1 and 2. And they've got giant Halloween things, which has just, like, creepy, wicked-looking, disgusting figurines. And, you know, Josie's like, what's that? I'm like, it's stupid stuff. Don't look at it. What in the world? I'm just trying here to get some saw blades. And instead, I get images of, you know, demonized whatever stuff. And it's like, I don't, you know, I got to deal with that enough outside of Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, skeletons, man, they're everywhere. They really, I mean, do you know why the skeleton went to the restaurant?
Why?
Wanted to get some spare ribs.
Wow.
What? Nothing wrong with that? A little humor? A little holiday humor?
This is ridiculous. It's supposed to be serious.
That is serious.
That's seriously wrong.
On a serious note, he tried to tell me some of those jokes the other day in the car, and his opening line
was... Must have been bored.
His opening line was bored. What do you call cheese that doesn't belong to you? And my response was, are you reading Laffy Taffy packages again?
Yes.
And I texted that one to Danny, and she's like, are you kidding me? I'm Mexican. I already know that joke, but I'll let you have the punchline. Because the answer is nacho cheese.
Wow.
Spiritual warfare.
Yeah. Hey.
If you want to go there, that's fine.
That'd be great. Hey. So, the thing is that you're participating in things that is ridiculous. It's like, you know, the one example I said earlier was like, you know, it's like, okay, so are you going to, like, for decorations, okay? You know, it's like, okay, ghosts and whatever, and witches and blood and whatever. It's like, is that you're going to decorate your front yard and your house with images of demons and violence so that you can induce fear into people?
Well, I think it's necessary to realize what Scripture says about obviously Satan and Satan's domain, and that is that it furthers lies. Like, he is the father of all lies. So everything that he does and everything that has to do with him is deception, you know, in one way or the other. So, like, you know, if something induces fear or something like that, like Scripture talks about the fear of God, that's not the same fear that Halloween brings.
Right.
It does not bring the fear of God. It brings the fear of created things,
right,
other things other than God, which is not good. So if you're talking about, like, ground-level spiritual warfare, who's combating each other? Obviously, it's God and his enemy, Satan, or our enemy, Satan, because he hates us as well. So God is a God of truth, clearly from Scripture. And like I just said, Satan is the father of all lies. It came out of Jesus' mouth. So
you want to hear the irony that just popped in my mind about this whole idea of a holiday that is built upon perpetuating fear, but we always want control.
Right.
So what do we see going on all around us in our neighborhood is safe zones for trick-or-treating. So we want it to be scary,
right,
but we want it to be safe. We don't want it to be really scary because real scary is unsafe and bad things happen. We want to control the environment so that it's just scary enough.
Yeah.
But it's totally safe.
Well, same thing with haunted houses. It's like, okay, that's great, but you know what a real, you know, haunted house is when you've got, you know, gunshots going off, you know, a block from your house and your daughter has to ask you, is it raining? And it's like, no, it's not raining. That's people shooting at each other.
Right.
You know, it's like, I'm sorry, it's not.
So do we have safe zones for Christmas caroling?
Anywhere there's hot chocolate.
I'm just saying, because why on Halloween is it required to have safe zones for our kids to go outside if that holiday is not based in evil?
Right.
Why are we so concerned whenever every other holiday – do we have safe zones for going out Easter egg hunting? Do we have safe – you get what I'm saying? There's other holidays that kids go out and do things in the general public that don't require the creation of safe zones.
Right.
But Halloween requires the creation of safe zones because we're perpetuating evil.
Yeah,
we're glorifying it. We're desensitizing people to it.
Yeah,
saying that it's, man, okay.
That's another thing I wanted to bring up was desensitization. It's like
it's the gateway,
right? And so it's, you know, even as grownups, and I speak to all the adults out there. It's like you're telling your kids this is okay. You're telling your kids that, you know, this stuff doesn't really matter. You can dabble in this, dabble in that.
So just remember when they leave their faith in college.
Right, exactly.
That it's okay.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, all that stuff, the desensitization. There we go. Whatever.
Yeah.
Desensibility.
There we go.
It's like just all the horror movies, like the ones that I used to watch. Like, I watched a lot of them.
I never liked them.
And it's just like, it's all like...
I can testify to... Okay, so when I was like, I must have been like 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I first saw, and this didn't actually have to do with Halloween, it just had to do with a scary movie. And this is just a testimony of fear. I saw the movie The Exorcist,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it just, I was petrified. You know, I saw it. I had never seen or even heard of, like, possession or anything like that. Didn't really know anything about it. But then after that, every time I would you know, trying to fall asleep at night, can't sleep, and I would think about that, I would have a spiritual experience where I felt a demonic presence. And it felt that same fear all the time, mm-hmm. like every time that that happened. And it was really hard to get to sleep, you know, not to mention, like, I felt incredibly alone, isolated, and didn't know how to fight it at mm-hmm. all. You know what I'm saying? Didn't necessarily have Jesus there, you know, batting for me, or right. nor was I in a friendship with him at that point.
So, does anybody know if you've seen any Christian hell houses advertised?
Oh, I went to them.
Yeah.
I know it was a trend 20 years ago. You know, we're gonna literally, you know, scare you to Jesus. It was the idea.
No, but, I didn't.
You didn't know about that? I mean, I
heard a little bit about that.
I don't see them anymore. So I guess that they all decided either, that it was expensive and it didn't
probably
work.
Didn't get the numbers they were hoping for.
Well, I mean, you can't scare somebody to Jesus no. with either.
Right.
You
right. That's
scare
the wrong
them
fear.
To Jesus
like
when
we're
they
talking
recognize
about.
God.
Yeah, I went to one when I was in high school with the same friend that didn't celebrate Halloween, ironically
How'd
enough.
How'd that work out?
What's their alternative?
Yeah, that was weird. I just realized that. Anyway, and it was basically you walked through these different rooms and they told this story of this like girl that overdosed or something. Mm-hmm. And then they went to hell and that was the scary room.
Man, you know, sounds like some tracks that we just recently received.
Lived out, man. Live in front
yeah,
of you.
Yeah, no, that's basically what it was. It was
abortion
to be
room.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
I remember going to this thing. I shouldn't even say their name because they probably still are doing it. Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. And it was actually was at Family Church.
It was. I remember.
Ago, a long,
remember
long
we
time
went to
ago.
That.
And that was many, many years ago. And it was basically a live play where they did similar things. But, you know, basically the idea was you can die tonight on your way home. And if you don't accept Jesus right now, you're going to hell.
Because that's what it's all about.
Because
right.
That is what that ticket, man. We're ready to punch you tonight.
Right. Right.
But, man, it's the same ideology, only from a different angle of trying to control people's behavior through fear. That's what Satan does, but that's what these Christians are trying
to
do.
Not how God rules.
They're trying to control people's behavior and influence their behavior with fear.
Win them how you can get them, right?
Yeah.
What else you got, Jason?
I don't know. We were on to Mark Sanford's
special.
Well, hey, we were there.
We're on to Mark Sanford now. Whoa.
I could rant.
Hey,
more,
we were talking about ground level spiritual warfare and just truth and lies, and God builds his kingdom through truth being believed and acted upon and obeyed.
Yeah, that's
and,
the important part.
Right.
Because I think we've lost sight of that in America today.
Right.
All obedience. We have to do is know the truth, and the truth will set us free, and I don't think that's true.
I was going to say, your actions tell you what you really believe. At the same time, on the contrary, you know, wherever lies are believed, Satan builds his strongholds to bind us.
And how does he do that? I mean, you believe a lie, and it doesn't say that that's the stronghold. He builds the stronghold based on that lie, which means he covers it up with a bunch of other little lies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So and then you start to walk them, then your affections become attached to them, so that's where your heart is.
And that's when he gains influence over you. And he doesn't gain influence over you all at once, like, oh, boom, there's Satan, I'm going to follow you. It's incremental. It's that slippery slope where a little bit at a time he's starting to get influence in your life and getting you to do and believe and obey things that contradict Scripture, contrary to God. And that's what I think is the most dangerous about Halloween, is at a very early age, kids are told to compromise on what God's standard is.
Right.
Right.
And it's, I mean, again, just the ludicrousness of it. It's like every day we go about, oh, yeah, it's wrong to kill people. Demons are bad. You know, if even anyone's even going to bother to talk about them. You know, I'm sure most people in the middle of April, if their little boy came up to him, was like, oh, I was talking to a demon, they'd probably get a little freaked out.
Right.
You know, but now we have the special holiday where all those things are just, they're okay. That's great. You can indulge. Yeah, go to the haunted house. That's awesome.
Look, Mommy, I got this knife and fake blood, and I was going over to the neighbor's house. What?
Right.
Oh, it's Halloween. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Right. You know, it's like, oh, look. I'm,
but you know, tomorrow, you know, when it's November 1st, you don't do that for another 364 days.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can just do it
because
then.
Because I'm six. I understand that. I'll make sure I got that.
Right. And it's like, what in
got
the
a
world?
Calendar
you can't
for Christmas, so I know what day I can
yeah,
do
I think the other thing that really bugs me about that idea of, like, it's done on one day, it's accepted on one day, 364 days out of the year, it's not acceptable. And that is the reality that, okay, so whether or not people realize this, but Halloween is basically exclaiming that there is a spirit realm, you know? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even necessarily have to do with God in that context. You know, there is a spirit realm. There's demons. There's spirits out there. But then the other 364 days of the year, America says, well, if some guy is manifesting demons, he must have mental illness.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Well, I don't know. I didn't actually bring this note. I saw it. I kind of looked at it and said, well, that's interesting, but I couldn't find any collaboration on it in other places. But there was one site I was looking at that said that Samhain celebrated the spirit that killed God.
Hmm.
And so I don't know how
which
weight I'd put in that, but that would have been the pagan idea, was that the spirits all rebelled against God.
That would make sense, because one of the traditions that I saw that they celebrated during that festival was the one where they extinguished all the flames in the land except the one king.
Oh, yeah. The
Druid king.
Druid king, and he would reignite.
Yeah, they did that here at the Mound. The Mound Indians practiced that tradition, and they ran the fire up from the riverfront in Cahokia.
Yeah.
Up to the mound, to the temple mound, and then they relit the fire on the temple mound, and then from that fire, they spread fire throughout the rest
of the world. That was also the thing they did
in Ireland.
In Ireland.
Right, that's what I said. These pagan rituals. So everybody who thinks that it doesn't mean anything, you have to ask yourself, how did the pagans, the druids in Ireland, have the exact same rituals as the Mound Indians in the middle of America?
Thousands of miles away with no communication ability.
And probably at a time when they had never crossed paths.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that happen? Time travel. It's got to be the only reason. Can't be spirits that actually know that they can institute certain things through people. It had to be time travel.
Mm-hmm.
Or robots.
So we're going to test that. We're going to go to our last song and break. And if any of us live long enough that time travel is invented, come back here before the break's over and tell us. So by the time we get to the end of the break, we should know that if time travel has been invented in our lifetime.
Wait. Oh, wow. Man, Ollie's
she was on it. Like, she thought I was actually introducing something.
Whatever,
sorry,
guys.
Ollie.
She's just, man, trigger happy Ollie. It's her birthday. She's celebrating.
She can do whatever she wants.
She's celebrating.
She's high on pie right now.
High on
She's been listening to that song.
So, this song that you guys just got to heard a snippet of,
trying to talk like the leprechaun.
Hey, you know what? Whatever.
I'm the leprechaun. I started to hear the herd.
It is, I'm really excited because it's Blindside. However, it's not traditional Blindside. It's their acoustic version of a song called Pitiful that I thought of when we started talking about this, because the whole song is this guy basically living in sin and watching Jesus die and really hoping Jesus doesn't look at what he's doing. Which is what everybody does on Halloween.
Trying to act like everything's cool.
Everything's cool.
So right. Now we can play it.
Happy birthday.
To Ali.
Some wonderful events that have occurred on Halloween throughout the ages. I was really surprised at some of the fascinating things that has happened on Halloween in history.
I was surprised at the fascinating things that didn't happen on Halloween, given its high crime rate.
I didn't look up everything that happened on Halloween. That would have taken too long.
But
I just did the highlights.
Jeez Louise.
October 31st.
Dun, dun, dun.
1517.
Dun, dun.
Martin Luther nails the 95 Theses to the door at the Wittenberg Church.
Take that.
Starting the Reformation. That's fascinating.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Just look at that decision right there, and look at how big.
To do it on October 31st.
Of ramifications, it spread, whatever. Right.
1846, the Donner Party decided that they were unable to cross Donner Pass and constructed their winter camp, which soon became a buffet of cannibalism.
It's true.
Which is horrible, but it is the day that they decided
to stop. I didn't know anything about that until you said.
You ought to read into that. That was a
fascinating. Do I really want to know?
Well, I mean, aside from the cannibalism, it's just fascinating that these guys were, I mean, they're traveling on wagons across the country. And
when was this?
1846, I just said.
1846.
You want me to look at that? Let me look at that date and make sure. Oh, it was 1846.
They were on their way to California to find gold.
Yeah, they were in the gold rush.
Instead.
Well, they started late.
They found their partner's body.
Well, gold. They started late.
Gross.
And they got stuck in the Sierra Nevadas
where it snows a lot. I mean, even now, truckers have a hard time getting over. It's all chain laws and all this stuff to get over. And they got stuck, decided that there was no way they were going to make it the rest of the way through, so they decided to stop. But they didn't have enough provisions to get through the winter, and it was an extremely snowy time. So they were, like, eating tree bark and different things, and a bunch of them started. Anyway, some of them survived, though.
I got an idea.
1892, Arthur Conan Doyle publishes The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock.
1913, the first paved coast-to-coast highway, the Lincoln Highway, was dedicated on Halloween. 1941, Mount Rushmore was completed. That one I was surprised at. And then in 1952, the first thermonuclear bomb was detonated on the Marshall Islands. So that's some pretty interesting stuff.
Wait. What year was that?
1952.
Oh, I thought you said that was in 41.
The atomic bomb
was
detonated in 45.
But Orson that was Welles, War of the Worlds, 1938.
But that was, and that actually, you know what?
Oh, that's today, actually.
I was going to say, that was the 30th that they did that. The day before Halloween, which I think is what caused all the panic, because they didn't realize that he would be doing a Halloween play a night early.
They were just outraged.
People believed it. They believed.
Oh.
No, do you not know the story?
No, I was joking.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I used to be in here with Mark Sanford, who said he doesn't know the story. So
1926, Houdini died because his appendix burst.
Right, because he got punched in the stomach three times.
Well, that was dumb.
He can't escape that one.
No. He was – okay, so he, like, prided himself on his ab muscles and apparently he said that he could –
really?
Yeah, he could take a punch. And this guy punched him – like, this professional fighter punched him three times and his appendix ruptured and it killed him.
Wow, what a doofus.
Well, showing off.
Yes.
I mean, the guy put himself in straitjackets underwater for a living. Not like he made the smartest decisions.
Doofus.
And I don't understand, but he said that Halloween was real and the spirit realm was real and he could cross back to contact him on Halloween and he'd be back. And they've tried for years and nobody's been able to. So apparently there ain't no coming back. Right? It's just like the time machine. We just proved that in our lifetime, none of us are going to witness or have access to a time machine. Otherwise, we would have already been here.
Or we'll just forget.
All right. You got 5 minutes left.
We do.
You might want to come up with something significant to talk about since I just wasted 5 minutes with frivolous trivia.
Frivolous.
I mean, for me, the whole thing, like I said, it goes back to, okay, so stop rationalizing your activities and look at the intents behind them and look at the things that you're participating in and realize that there is a real spirit realm with real spiritual beings and there's a real God that wants you to be holy and set apart so that you can do real ministry, so that you can love, so that you can set captives free. Not so that you can dress up as scary things and watch scary movies because that's really fun and go to haunted houses where they celebrate death and violence and horror.
So on the one hand, do you want to be tormented and controlled and manipulated to do other further harmful, painful things, or do you want God, who doesn't do those things, to have domain in your life?
Well,
you know, that's a no-brainer.
I think what it really comes down to...
I was afraid you were going to choose Mad Cow.
I think what it really comes down to is that, for the most part, people would rather pretend it doesn't exist and act as though they have control over it than to realize that it does exist and that they don't have control over it.
And that's the big thing. It's like, okay, cool, you're going to do your Ouija board or you're going to dress up as some murderer or... whatever, it's like, that's great. But yeah, you don't get to tell, you know, those demons what to do or whatever. And you don't get to necessarily, like, decide how those things are going to affect you.
Right. But you, if you're really reading your Bible, you're going to realize that those things are real.
Mm-hmm.
And that you don't have a full understanding of how they manifest. Look how little information is given to the cultures that surrounded Israel. But we know that their gods were demons, says so, and we know that they were named and there was multiples and they were over each individual region and they all had them doing different things.
And I was going to say, they all had like these crazy, like some of them
passing
through the fire and their children, like, oh, just give up your children. You know, I'm about to have a child and I already have very, you know, deep emotional connection to him. He's not even born. It's like, I wouldn't put my kid through flames for anyone.
Right. So to go into that culture and say, well, that ain't real, we're just going to mock it, doesn't change whether it's real or not, just like now. It doesn't change anything. And then think about why you're celebrating this make-believe holiday that requires you to have safe zones for your children to go to. If there's no evil behind it, what are you afraid of?
Right.
Why are you thinking that there's a possible threat to your children?
Well, my challenge was like what you said initially, like, if the origins don't matter anymore, then do the origins of your very faith not matter? Because they were started by things in history. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's true.
Jesus coming. It's like, okay, so if you claim that for Halloween.
What you're going to believe.
Exactly. If, you know, you're going to claim that for Halloween.
It means you're making your own reality.
Right.
And if you're going to make your own reality, then go do whatever it is you want to do because it really doesn't matter at that point.
Right.
You're at the destiny and doom of whatever's real.
Right, exactly.
But if you're going to do that, then stop claiming Christ the other 364 days of the year.
Hey, there you go.
But isn't that the joy of Halloween? We can just go be the complete opposite
do whatever,
of everything we
say. We can indulge whatever evil
day.
Stuff we want on this one day, but the rest of the year we're good with Jesus because he's our homeboy.
Yeah, yeah. It's dumb. It's, yeah, the hypocrisy of the whole thing.
Well, you got to stick with Disney characters, right? Because they're all holy and everything, right?
No. Have you seen Disney movies? Come on.
No, I quit watching them a long time ago.
Saying.
They lost me at Bambi.
But again, like I said, it's not, okay, now let's make a list of things we can't do or movies we can't watch or songs we can't listen to. That's not what it's about. It's what qualities are you filling your head and your heart with and your time with?
That's really what I don't like about Halloween. I just don't like all of the glorification of evil.
Right.
Yeah. I don't see any purpose for it.
I remember that one time we had some of those kids from the neighborhood in the shop and they were asking about Halloween. And you were just like, well, demons are real. And they were like, what?
Huh?
And you just laid it all out for them. And yeah, it's like,
I don't need to see him in a mask. I've seen him for real.
It's like, you don't get it. It's like, that's the whole thing that ticks me off. It's like, yep, evil, death, destruction, horror, wickedness, fear.
It's all there. And
let's make a party.
Yeah. And Christians choose to indulge in it and act like Jesus doesn't care.
So, by the way, go out tomorrow night, enjoy yourselves, eat your candy, and hopefully you stay safe. Don't let your kids get hit by cars. Twice as much chance tomorrow as any other night of the year. And protect your property.
Good night and good luck.
Wow. See you next week. Well, we're going to talk about prayer.
The Resistance is hosted by Dr. Terry Goodwin, Mark Sanford, Jason Callahan, and Mark Goodwin. Our theme music is The Resistance by Josh Garrels and is licensed by Marmoset Music. This episode of The Resistance Radio Show was originally broadcast live on KXEN 1010 AM in St. Louis, Missouri.
Thank you for being a part of The Resistance. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or directly from our feed at theresistanceradioshow.wordpress.com. Find us on Twitter at Disciple Driven or on Facebook at facebook.com/Disciple Driven Church or on our website at DiscipleDrivenChurch.org. To learn more about our missionary work in the inner cities of America, please visit sunministries.org. You can email us directly at terry@DiscipleDrivenChurch.org.